A reading now from the first chapter of the book of Mark, picking up with the 14th verse. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus was passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat, mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat and the hired men and followed him. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God. I was ordained in a little country church in the community of Lowe's Grove, North Carolina, which someone once said was only 25 miles down the road, but still 2.5 centuries away from Raleigh. It wasn't sophisticated. It wasn't showy. But I learned a lot about people in that church. And I learned a lot about pastoring also. One Sunday I remember very clearly was when old Pastor Gale preached a sermon on the need to make a decision and the need to make it right now. "You never know," Pastor Gale said, "when you're gonna run out of time and the moment to decide will be already past." You could probably guess that after the sermon, the hymn of response was, "I have decided to follow Jesus." Only, much to our surprise, on the last stanza of the hymn, just as we were about to sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, I'll follow him," for the last time, suddenly, the music minister's hands stopped waving. The music quit playing, and the choir ceased singing. We in the congregation were left standing with mouths agape and eyes agog. Then old Pastor Gale stepped forward and from the floor this time said again, "You never know when you're going to run out of time and the moment to decide will be already past." It was a little gimmicky for my tastes. But all these many years later, I have to admit, I haven't forgotten it. And neither, I bet, has anyone else. This morning, we are given three scriptures, each with a moment of decision. In the Hebrew Bible, we have the Ninevites, a wicked people faced with the call to repentance at a critical hour, just before their nation is to be given over to destruction. And in Paul's epistle, we have the pastor's summons to live life as if time is short and every second counts, because it does. And in the gospel lesson, which I just read, we hear the call of Jesus to his disciples. And that most decisive moment of their lives, when Jesus says to them, "Come and follow, the time is now." I know that I have told you before that there are two words for the concept of time in the New Testament. The first is chronos. It refers to chronological or clock time. This is the time that is rhythmic and predictable. 1 minute turns into another, which then turns it into an hour, and then a day, and then a year. But when Jesus speaks in today's lesson, he doesn't use the word chronos. He uses the word kairos, another word for time, meaning a definite point or fulfillment of time. Kairos is a time when things are brought into focus or even into crisis. It is the time to get off the fence, the time to act, the time to decide. As Paul Tillich put it, kairos is the point in history in which time is disturbed by eternity. And the moment at which history has matured to the point of being able to receive the breakthrough of the manifestation of God. Kairos is the time of God's coming and our welcome, or not. See, that is the thing. The breakthrough can be resisted, the manifestation missed, and the decision averted and avoided. And so, as Jesus said when he came to Jerusalem and was rejected, we can miss the time of God's visitation. We can miss the time and then tell ourselves that the time hasn't yet come. I think back to my first call as a pastor and how we ended up in Vermont. Vermont, people called it in North Carolina. "Why Vermont?" one guy said. "Why, I wouldn't even call somebody in Vermont. It's so cold." Let me tell you how we ended up in Vermont. I was a young, admittedly inexperienced, white preacher in the South with a black wife. That's how. And after having a hard time finding a pulpit, in a very candid conversation, an acquaintance at Truett Seminary said to me, "Let me be frank with you. Have you thought about the North? Because search committees down here are just going to keep on saying, 'We're just not ready. The community just isn't ready.'" So then, after waiting almost a year, I put my name in with the Northern Baptists, and we soon found ourselves in Vermont. You know who else had to go to Vermont to find a pastorate? Addie Elizabeth Davis, the first woman to be ordained as a Southern Baptist pastor at Watts Street Baptist Church in 1964. But she couldn't find a Southern Baptist church which would call her, so she had to go all the way up to Reedsboro, Vermont, to find a pulpit. The churches down here just weren't ready. So maybe you can see why I'm so passionate about equality. Maybe you can understand why I'm such an advocate for the pulpit being open to women and to LGBTQ persons, and why I think we need to be working so much harder to get Black, Indigenous, and other people of color as members and also as ministers in churches like our own, so that they don't have to go all the way up to Vermont to find a place. And so that we don't miss our moment of visitation. Now is the time, or as we might could say, it's done been time. That is a part of what we are doing now as a church with the newly established ACT Council. ACT is an acronym for Acknowledge, Confess, and Transform. Our community and country are hurting now, especially around issues of race and gender and class. And institutions like Broadway are called to be leaders in helping us to acknowledge the deep sources of our country's pain and to confess our own participation in its cause, not for the purposes of shame or vilification, but for the purposes of transforming ourselves and our world so that the kingdom of God can come on earth even as we know that it will be in heaven. This is what Jesus meant when he walked along the shoreline all those many centuries ago and said to his disciples, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." The time has come again. The Kairos moment is at hand once more. Eternity is breaking in and the kingdom of God is possible. And we see the possibility now for what this world could and should be like. But in order for us to live into that possibility, we have to repent, which literally means we have to change our way of thinking. We have to change our consciousness and also even our subconsciousness. And we have to change the structures and systems which they built. This is what St. Paul meant when he said, "Do not be conformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. The old is past, and the new is come. We must embrace the new and believe in its good news." But doing so takes courage. It's an adventure and sometimes a scary one. It's always scary to go against the grain. I mean, think about what courage it must have taken from Jesus to pick up the mantle of John just after John had been arrested and come preaching his same prophetic words. The call of Christ is a call to courage. It's a call to adventure. As William Sloan Coffin said, it is a call to be willing to risk something big for the sake of something good. But that's not all that very easy for many. In fact, for most, it may be too much. They like comfort and assurance and the old order of things. That's why Coffin's predecessor at Riverside Church in New York City said, "So many clergy are called to be fishers of men, but end up instead being keepers of the aquarium." We are called to be fishers of men. And we are called to be fishers of women. And we are called to be fishers of people of all and no genders. We are just called to fish. And we are called to follow. I don't know what exactly following might look like for you. It might mean going against the grain in the boardroom, or it might look like changing a career path. It might look like going to seminary or just coming to church. It might look like getting sober. It might look like it looked for John and going to jail. Or it may just look like coming down the aisle when we get back here in person and showing the world that you've made a decision. Following can mean many things. The important thing is that we do it, and that we do it today. Dr. King said, "The time is always right to do right." What he meant by that is that if we sit around and wait till the perfect time to make a change, then we'll be waiting forever. We can't afford to wait on the world. The world is waiting on us. And we may well discover that when we find the courage to answer the call, the times are a lot more ready to be disturbed by eternity than we would have ever first imagined. That's the story of the nation of Nineveh. They were a lot more ready to change than anybody would have expected. And that should give us hope for this nation that we're living in as well. Because you just never know when the kingdom of God is going to break through and the people are going to get ready finally to live up in integrity to the complete fulfillment of their noble creed with liberty and with justice for all. I know I've talked a lot from my own experience this morning. I'm sorry for that. But since I've gone this far, I'm going to go just a little farther. I told you about the church where I was ordained. I want you to know that when I was assigned there as an interim while in seminary, when I read the request form, it said, "Please do not send us a black student. The church just isn't yet ready." So Duke Divinity School didn't send a black student. They sent me instead. And pretty soon, God sent a young woman named Irie Turner, soon to be Irie Price. And the church had a decision to make. And they did make it. And they made it for good. Maybe you have a decision to make. Maybe we all do. May we also make it for good. And may we make it today. For as old Pastor Gale told that church, we never know when we're going to run out of time, and the moment to decide will be already past. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.